Morning.
Morning.
Great to see you all. Welcome to today's meeting of the Board of Public Works. And before we get started, I would just like to take a moment to recognize the comptroller about some comments about the fiscal year 2023 closeout. And I just want to say, as I turn it over to her, just how much we appreciate all your hard work, you and the team, and everything you all did to very diligently compile the closeout report. So, Madam Comptroller.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Governor. Good morning, everybody. I am so pleased. You probably saw the big headlines Monday morning about the state's closeout. That was a joke, guys. But really pleased to report that we have completed the closeout for the general fund for fiscal year 2023. This is, of course, one of our most important duties in the comptroller's office, and really grateful to the awesome team that we have, including Sandy Zink, Robert Rehrman, and everyone in the General Accounting Division and the Bureau of Revenue Estimates for their work and their diligence in completing this important annual process. So our closeout report really closely follows revenue forecasts made in March by the Board of Revenue Estimates, signaling that Maryland's economy remains stable, but is experiencing some challenges, including the effects of national inflation, with a disproportionate impact being felt by our families making low to moderate incomes. Despite those challenges, I'm excited to report that the state closed its books with a preliminary unassigned balance of $555 million. Maryland has a strong record of prudent fiscal management, as evidenced by our longstanding AAA bond rating. But we cannot ignore that the closeout report reflects the challenges families and small business owners are facing. And although there are signs that inflation is slowing, many families and small businesses are still adjusting to the economic impact of COVID and rising costs, from rent, mortgages, to financing the purchase of a new vehicle, et cetera, schools. Now, these factors really highlight the need for more research into the new normal that we find ourselves in this post-pandemic era. So that's why earlier this year, our agency embarked on an effort to better fully understand the structural changes in our economy and revenue base and the associated risks, challenges, and opportunities. And we hosted a series of roundtables and interviews over the summer with businesses, industries, and economic development leaders throughout the state to learn what they, their members, and their communities are experiencing on the front line of the state's economy and what they need to grow, prosper, and succeed. So in the next month, more fiscal news to come. At the end of the month, of course, we have our Board of Revenue Estimates meeting, of course, which I'll be there with the Treasurer and the Secretary of BBM and others. And then we will also be releasing a report on the state of Maryland's economy to help policymakers, leaders, and our partners in government better understand the structural challenges that we have and the changes that we've seen over the past few years so that we can be better prepared moving forward. And excited to continue partnering with our governor, our lieutenant governor, and all the secretaries and agencies and treasurer on the work that we have to do. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And again, thank you for the mountainous work that it took, and also for the leadership that you're showing. And I think what the comptroller laid out, it just shows a continued need for discipline. Discipline is revenue performance, and particularly when you're looking at personal income tax and the adjustments where they fell short from the March estimates. And, you know, this administration and the Moore Miller administration, that we are eager to work in partnership to see how these results are going to impact the future forecast of revenues, about how we're going to approach our fiscal processes going forward. And it'll all give us a better sense of what the full outlook is going to be, and as we're then approaching a full budgetary process. And, you know, one thing I think Marylanders will come to see is that they can expect from this administration that we are going to be bold, that we are going to accomplish big things, and we are going to be fiscally responsible. And that's not a choice, that we're going to do both. And so we're really excited to be able to work in close partnership with the comptroller, with the treasurer, with the members of the Maryland General Assembly, with local jurisdictions, to be able to we can make sure that we can achieve exactly that. So with that, we'll go ahead and get moving with the business of the day with the Secretary's agenda. Secretary Gonsham, good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning. Good to see you, Governor, and good to see you, Mr. Treasurer. Good morning, Madam Comptroller. There are 13 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning and two reports of emergency procurements. I'd like to note a revision to item 12, which is the settlement agreement with Mr. Smith for erroneous incarceration compensation. The Department of Budget Management requested that the fund source listed on the item currently for Mr. Smith's compensation and attorney's fees, which is currently listed as a board contingent fund, be instead substituted with the board settlements and judgments account, which is known by its budget document titled Payments of Judgments Against the State. The housing accommodation portion of the settlement will still be funded out of the Department of Housing and Community Development's budget. We will note that revision on the agenda published online after the meeting and mark the items revised.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. And I'd actually like to call up item 12, which is a request to approve $340,802 to settle the case for Mr. Demetrius Smith and his claims via the Walter Lomax Act, being wrongfully convicted and incarcerated for more than 5 years. I tell you, I mean, as the governor, you get a chance to see things and hear things that the state has done, and in some cases still does, that gives you a real sense of pride for the things that our state has done and accomplished. And there's certain things that you see and read that frankly fosters a sense of embarrassment and hurt. This is one of these days where as a state, we got this really wrong. And on behalf of the entire state, I apologize. In 2008, Mr. Smith, then 25 years old, was wrongfully charged for murder. At his bail hearing, the judge noted that the case presented before him was, and I quote, probably the thinnest case I have ever seen. That's a quote. But the prosecution was determined to press forward, relying on testimony from a witness who was later found to have not even been at the scene of the crime. Less than 2 months after his arrest for murder, and as he was out on bail awaiting trial for that charge, he was arrested, taken into custody for first-degree assault. Once again, the prosecution relied on witnesses who later recanted their testimonies. In 2010, he was convicted and sentenced to life imprisonment plus 18 years. And in 2011, a year after he was erroneously convicted for murder, he entered an Alford plea for the assault charge, maintaining his innocence for both of the crimes he was accused of, but lost faith in the justice system that failed him just the year before, and was sentenced to 10 years to be served concurrently with his life sentence. In 2011, when the U.S. attorney charged the real killer in the murder for which Mr. Smith was wrongfully accused for, that's when his innocence was finally proven. But he spent another year and a half in prison, even though it was proven already that he did not commit the murder. It wasn't until 2012 when the state finally and quietly dropped the murder conviction. In May 2013, he petitioned the court to revisit his Alford plea for the assault charge, citing, and I quote, some issues about the facts of the case. The prosecutor decided to modify Mr. Smith's sentence to time served plus 3 years probation, which was later further reduced to probation before a judgment and a PPJ, when evidence emerged that, just like the murder case, the witness for the assault charge was not telling the truth. He was later freed after 5 years behind bars. So we're here today, more than 10 years after he was released from incarceration, providing Mr. Smith with long overdue justice that he was deprived of. An apology from the state of Maryland that until today he's never received. So Mr. Smith, as governor of the state of Maryland, I am deeply sorry for what you've gone through. I'm deeply sorry for the fact that our justice system failed you not once, but our justice system failed you twice. And while no amount of money can make up for what was taken from you, the action this board is taking today represents a formal acknowledgement from the state for the injustice that was caused. I also want to take a moment, and we had a chance to spend some time also with the treasurer and the comptroller back in the office. I want to also publicly acknowledge all the people that fought for you, to include your sister. Your sister who continued to make phone call after phone call, arrange meeting after meeting, who never stopped fighting for you, never stopped believing in you. And I want to not just acknowledge the harm that was done to you and your entire family. I also want to acknowledge her heroism for continuing to fight for not just her brother, but to fight for justice. And so on behalf of the entire state, it's an honor to have you here. We are deeply sorry for what happened and look forward to the continued contribution that you are going to continue making to our society and working with you. So bless you. Thank you so much. Is there any further discussion on the secretary's agenda?
I just wanted to make one note about thank you for that, Mr. Governor. I also just wanted to note secretary's agenda items 8 to 11 are all for the national treasure, as Dr. Wilson likes to remind us. And I was honored to host him last week in our office, and just wanted to express my appreciation for the vision and leadership of President Wilson and the Board of Regents, and look forward to future visits, and say how important, of course, the success of all of our HBCUs is in the state of Maryland, and certainly the success of Morgan State University. So three items here today for them. So thank you.
Yeah, yeah. May I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Okay.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. We will proceed with the DNR, Department of Natural Resources. Ms. Wilson, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller. Nice to be here this morning with you. Emily Wilson with the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. We have five items on our DNR real property agenda. We will be withdrawing item 1A, leaving four items for your consideration. Happy to try to answer any questions.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ms. Wilson. And it's my understanding that we're joined today by Delegate Anderson.
There he is.
How can I miss him?
Yeah.
How can I miss him? Great jacket, as always. Yeah. From the great 38th Legislative District, is here to speak in support of the investments that are made in item 2A. Delegate Anderson, it is good to see you.
Morning, family.
Morning.
How are you doing today?
Good.
God bless you, grandma. God bless you. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just great to be here. I appreciate it. It's so good being in front of this board for the first time. I'm looking at family. It's awesome. And so I'd be remiss if I didn't share a brief story right quick about the governor's last visit to Salisbury. As you know, those of you who know me, I have a group at the society in three groups: colleagues, my people, and my family. You know, and so everybody's my people. Colleagues are who they are.
Careful call.
I took one of my cousins to meet the governor, wanted to get a picture with the governor, and he's, you know, introduced me, was like, yeah, this is my cousin. And the governor says, well, if that's your cousin, that's my cousin, so that means we're cousins. You know, just kind of like we always do. The next day I get a phone call, and he says, hey, man, you really cousins with the governor? Cool thing about this board, I know all three of you very well, and you all walk your talk. You know, it's very easy to have people talk and just say things and then move on, but you walk it, and you walk it by what you're doing today and all the many things that are going to be coming before you for Wicomico County. This is just the very beginning, and so I just wanted to say thank you on behalf of my people, our family, for your investment, your voting to approve these investments in Wicomico County, for the many things that are coming, and I just wanted to tell you how much I really appreciate it, so I got really dressed up. Swimming trunks and t-shirt. And I look forward to seeing all y'all next week down at Crisfield.
Yep.
That's right.
You know, so Mama Cornbread is going to be there. My folks, everybody's going to be there. So come through and we'll say hi and have a good time. And again, I just want to tell y'all, I love y'all. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Delegate.
Thank you.
Thank you, Delegate.
Thank you. Listen, the shore could not have a better advocate, and I could not have a better cousin.
Yeah.
Yes. And go Ravens.
Yeah.
Go Ravens. we are very excited, and we are proud to collectively support these investments. Is there any further discussion on the DNR agenda?
Nope.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. So moved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, University System of Maryland, Mr. Hickey. Good morning.
Good morning, Governor. Good to see you. Good morning, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller. Tom Hickey, representing University System of Maryland. There is one item on the agenda for your consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Wonderful. Thank you. Is there any discussion on the USM agenda?
No discussion.
Okay. May I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thanks so much, Mr. Hickey. Thank you. We will proceed with the MDOT agenda. Ms. Donsky, good morning. Good to see you.
Morning, Governor. Great to see you. Thank you, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, I'm Valerie Radomski, Chief Procurement Officer representing the Maryland Department of Transportation. Today, the department is presenting 24 action agenda items. Included on our agenda are 8 awards to certified minority and small businesses, totaling approximately $17.8 million. MDOT is also awarding a duly certified firm more than $200,000 on DGS's agenda. Agency representatives are available to answer any questions you may have.
Excellent. Thank you. Is there any discussion on the MDOT agenda?
I just wanted to note 13M, it was great to see for this highway maintenance contract, the certified minority business and small business is 100%. And, you know, some of the other highway maintenance contracts, we haven't seen that. And so it is possible, as we are seeing. So I'm glad to see that and hope we can see more of it.
Thank you. Sure. Absolutely.
May I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we will conclude with the DGX agenda. Secretary Charger, good morning.
Morning, sir. Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer, for the record, I'm Atif Chaudhry, Secretary of the Maryland Department of General Services. Today, the department is presenting 51 items in our agenda. Our agenda features over $3.6 million in capital grants and loans. I just want to highlight a couple of those. Item 2CGL I wanted to highlight, which is for the Board of Directors of Brunswick Volunteer Ambulance and Rescue. In Frederick County, $300,000 to construct a new Brunswick Volunteer Ambulance and Rescue Building. And previously, $1.15 million was awarded for this construction project. We'd also highlight item 3CGL, which is $750,000 to Chu Smith Youth Empowerment in Baltimore City to create an interconnected campus with a community center focused on leadership, vocational training, and life skills for youth. And lastly, I wanted to highlight item 9CGL, which provides over $1 million to Mercy Medical Center in Baltimore City to renovate the third floor of a building adjacent to their hospital for expanding OBGYN and prenatal care to the Baltimore region, including underserved populations. Our agenda also includes 4 new contract awards and 1 contract option to MBE Prime contractors totaling over $15 million. We have agency representatives here to answer any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Excited to get in, and also just want to be remiss if I say Mr. Smith was also talking about he has a new landscaping business that he's putting on board. So I want to make sure that you guys connect as well before the end of the day. Well, we are also pleased to be joined by another distinguished member of the Maryland General Assembly.
Another cousin.
This is just a family reunion. That's what we do at BPW meetings. Delegate Eversol, the 44th, here to speak in support of item 6CGL. So we're continuing our bipartisan echoing of.
And I'm a little angry at you for putting me after Delegate Anderson. I have the kind of story to tell, but really, this is an excuse for me to get in front of this august body of this triumvirate. It's just amazing, man. And so when I had a chance to testify on this. The Friends of Patapsco Valley State Park is a nonprofit that helps DNR with a lot of things in Patapsco Park, which is basically an urban park that is huge. And this project, should you approve it, will allow us to acquire property that will allow for a lot more people to access a lot more recreational area of that park. And we've been working really hard on it, and we have good plans for it, good environmentally sound plans for this. It's going to be a parking lot, but we're going to make it a good one. But that, for right now, we just need to acquire the property And I'm very thankful that this has finally come before the board and that we're able to ask for your approval. And so,
thank you. Thank you. And we are.
And I got to tell. No, I don't have a story. I don't.
Oh.
I don't have one. I didn't prepare like that. You know, I wore a regular blue coat and I don't have a story. So there you go.
We just spent many of one afternoon at Sasco Valley State Park at the Swinging Bridge and other places. So really appreciate your advocacy and, you know, had a great time at their event last year.
Another item in there, that's number seven, the Trail Center, which is going to allow them to do a great deal of upkeep. It's an acquisition of a building for that as well. So
great.
I'll toss that in. It's just, they're working really hard. The director is standing over there. Dave Ferraro is standing there over in the corner right now. So
See you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thank you. We're grateful for your leadership and excited about the investment. Any further agenda, any further discussion on the DGS agenda?
One. On item 33 IT, Governor, this is a request from the Department of Health toward NetSmart Technology, the 5-year contract to provide a comprehensive electronic health record system for their residential facilities at a cost of $26.3 million. And I was disappointed to learn that given the scope of the project and the size, there weren't any subcontractable opportunities for minority business enterprises identified during the solicitation phase. However, I understand the recommended awardee was able to proactively identify 2 Maryland-based subcontractors to engage with. So my office sent MDH several questions about this contract, and I certainly appreciate the department's addressing some of these concerns. Is there somebody here for MDH?
There is. Yeah, we brought Mr. Pitt here.
Talk about that? Okay, great. Thanks. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm Brian Rose. I'm the Deputy Secretary of the MDH Healthcare System and Operations.
Great, thank you. Could you just provide some updates on your efforts to identify MBE opportunities for this contract?
Just the history of this contract. It's an EHR for our facilities. We've been working on this for decades, not just this contract, but many attempts. So this is really coming to the final line to get our facilities up to modernization. This contract was begun, our solicitation was begun in the previous administration, as you noted, with the Zero MBE goal. We did, in consultation with NetSmart, find out ways in which they could augment that MBE in their service line. As this is an IT project, a lot of it is prime, a lot of it can't be contracted out. But services such as education or transition, there were some opportunities, and we talked to them about that, and they have voluntarily given us.
Excellent. Thanks for doing that. Appreciate it. And I know that going forward, you know, the governor's administration is working to ensure that, and we all are interested in working to ensure that, you know, we're not just treating MBE goals as sort of a compliance figure, but this is a way to really expand and grow our economy and to make sure everybody's participating in it fully. So really appreciate your work on that. Thank you, Governor. Thank you.
Any further questions or comments for the Secretary? Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
And is there a second? Outstanding. Thank you so much, Mr. Secretary. Thank you. This will conclude today's meeting for the Board of Public Works. The next meeting will be on October 4th. Thank you all very much.